out. Let's give them a hand for worshiping with us. we're going to go to, once again, the book of James that you will be studying in your small groups. James chapter 1, verse 16 through verse 18. And the title of this message is Call to the Goodness of God. Call to the Goodness of God. Call to the Goodness of God. James chapter 1, verse 16. Through 18. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. I think actually this passage is very linked with Psalm 34, verse 8, where it simply says in Psalm 34, verse 8, Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. You know, I've been kind of meandering in the book of James. I talked about how we are called to joy in the times of trials. I just shared with many of you how 2019 started off pretty difficult. But, you know, we're still called for pure joy. And then I talked to you about call to prayer from the book of James, how we are called to pray at all occasions, good and bad. And then last week I talked to you about how we are called to live it out, how we're called to be more than attenders or hearers, but for us to be doers. But today we want to talk about how James reminds us that we are called to the goodness of God. And I think one of the greatest deception is that we forget who we belong to. We forget who we are. We start seeing this world as if we belong to this world. You know, the gospel says, or Jesus in the scripture says, we are in this world, but not of this world. You know, the scripture says that. And a lot of times we think we are in this world and we belong to this world. And I think that forgetfulness, we are in this world, but not of this world, is what's going to really get us into the wrong track. A very famous German pastor, Bonhoeffer, said this, Satan does not here fill us with hatred of God, but will with forgetfulness. And he was talking about this idea when we're struggling and when we're having a difficult time, that the enemy will not get us to hate God, but he'll help make us forget God. And forget what? That our God is good, that our Father is good, you know. There are many of us who's been in the faith, you've gone to church enough, so that when you go through a hard time, a difficult time, maybe out of your mouth, or maybe you try to suppress, you know, I don't hate God, I'm not angry at God, even though maybe underneath there's like a questioning. But we slowly forget, especially when circumstances are in the wrong places, we slowly forget that our God is good, that we can taste and see that our God is good. You know, James here says it right off the bat. He says, do not be deceived. Okay, here's a point of deception. Do not be deceived. And it's interesting that James shares this at this passage, because if you study the book of James this semester in your small group, you realize James is hard-hitting and straightforward. You know, it really feels like if you read it in the wrong way, it's very legalistic. You know, he says, hey, you know what? Prove that you are a Christian. Be a Christian. Don't just say, I have faith and I love Jesus. He says, you know what? You know, even the demon says that Jesus is God, you know, and what kind of faith do you realize? There's a lot of hard-hitting things. And again, in chapter 1, in the beginning, in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, you know, have pure joy. And in the midst of that, James says, you know what the enemy's going to do? He's going to deceive you, brother. And the way he's going to deceive you is that he's going to make you forget that God, our Father, is good. You know, verse 17 and 18, let me just read that again. It's very poetic how he writes it. In fact, the book of James falls into the literature of wisdom. You know, there's a lot of wisdom, way of framing things. And here in verse 17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. We're going to look at three things. Number one, that our God the Father gives good gifts, right? That's one truth that James is proclaiming, that he gives good gifts, right? Can we look to one another and say, God gives good gifts, all right? Can you say that? God gives good gifts. And you're that gift, baby, all right? God gives good gifts. Second, all right, is this. God, our Father, is unchangeably good, all right? He doesn't change in his goodness. He's unchangeably good. And lastly, God's goodness, our Father's goodness, gave us birth. We are birthed into the goodness of God, right? So God good, our Father gives us good gifts. God, our Father, is unchangeably good. And God, our Father's goodness was what gave us birth, right? Let's look at this truth that God the Father gives us good gifts. In verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, this word good originally is defined in so many broad ways. It means good in its nature. It's good and pleasurable, agreeable, that there is joy in this goodness. It's excellent. It's upright. It's honorable. And, you know, James is trying to remind us of what Jesus said. In fact, there's a lot of reminder here. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through 11, he says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, think about this. Jesus says that all of us who are even fathers, earthly fathers, we are evil. Okay, we're evil compared to God. He says, you know, even though you are evil, you would actually, you know, give good gifts. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to good give, how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? All right. Jesus says, hey, even though you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, imagine what God, who is always good, how he wants to give, Lord, good gifts to his children. Right? It's a very poetic language as James, you know, declares that God is the Father of lights. And he says that he wants to give us good and perfect gifts. Now, I know this is so simple, but do you believe that this is true? Because the enemy will slowly start making us deceive that this is not true, that our Father gives us gift that is useful, that is pleasant, that is agreeable, that is excellent, that is upright, that is honorable, not just easy gift, not just what we want gifts, not gifts that we desire, but he gives good and perfect gift. Now, I want to say this, all right? I do want to distinguish. There are times things come into our lives, and I don't think God gives it, right? And I know these are very difficult things, that, as I say it here. If you've ever been abused, I don't think that's God's gift to you. But he still can make an abuse, a deep pain of abuse, into something good. Your greatest pain, injustice, to something good that could be used to identify with other people with pain. Right? If you've ever been hurt, you know, intentionally by somebody else, I don't think that's from God. But when God enters into our lives and there are trials and difficulties in our lives, you know, many times the kind of gifts that we want from the Father are things that just brings us comfort, you know. We really sometimes sign in for this relationship with God so that we could become just an eternal couch potato. You know, we just want to sit there and all the potato chips and everything is delivered to us and we don't gain weight. We really think the only good gifts from God are things that make us feel comfortable. Things that makes our life easier. But could it be that he gives good gifts that actually stretches us? You know? That takes us to the brink of places where we feel like, I wouldn't do that. Could it be that God wants to give us good gifts that will actually break our faith muscles so that our faith in Jesus Christ could become stronger? I want to tell you, one of the only things that will last in our life is our relationship with God. And our relationship with God is developed in this world by our faith. Right? And our faith is in something that is unseen. And our faith is in something that looks into eternity, not just into the present world. If your faith is only about what I can get from God, my comfort in this world, the Bible will not make sense. You know? Jesus will not make sense. Sometimes it will when everything looks good. But when it doesn't, and our faith seems like it's being broken so that God can make it stronger, then we wonder, is this good gift? Is it a perfect gift? Is this trial really from God? Is this a good gift? Is it a perfect gift? You know, I was just thinking of this ideal between, you know, I don't know how to kind of, you know, I was actually a bio major, but I don't know how to really distinguish it anymore. It's been a long time I studied biology. So it's like, it's, you know, we look at life through our fat cells. I know you're like, what are you doing? Okay. Not our muscles. I mean, think about our muscles. When we break our muscles and we are lifting, you know, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, or 200 like myself, you know, long time ago, I used to bench. Amen, all right? More than that, okay? Well, one time I went to the Y and I was benching my max and I'm like, whoa, I am the man. You know, it was like pretty high. And then this other lady came and she benched over me and I said, I'm not doing benching anymore. Right, but anyway, so, you know, think about our muscle cells. You know, when you want to grow your muscle, you got to tear it apart. Imagine your muscle cells. Your muscle cells are not happy when you go on runs, especially if you're pushing it, right? Your muscle cells are not happy when you are lifting weights and you're breaking your muscles because your muscle is being teared apart. But when you rested and you do it right, you get stronger. Our faith cells hurts when it's challenged. Our faith cells hurts when the unseen is brought into our life for us to have eternal perspective. Do you walk by faith or do you walk by sight? Because when God here in this scripture says God gives good and perfect gift, if we cannot put on biblical lens of faith, some of the gifts that God gives will not look good. And that's generally what we fall into. We go, God, how could this be good? This is making me feel uncomfortable. This is making my life harder. Lord, I can't stand this. Lord, this is way beyond me. I'm sure Olympic athletes, their muscles were screaming that. You know, saying, no! Human beings are not supposed to run 5 miles, I think, okay? You shouldn't run more than 5 miles, all right? Just stop after 5 miles. That's the most I've ever ran, right? After that, you're not supposed to. You can't run 25 plus miles. That's not, no, but you can. By breaking your muscles and allowing to heal and making it stronger. God says, I give you good and perfect gift. And you know, this is not easy to swallow. You may swallow it right now because you just got blessed by all the worship. Like, oh yeah, he gives good and perfect gift. But you know, if you step out here and you go home, you're like, is my academic year really good and perfect? Is my family, is it good and perfect? That's where you're going to struggle. But God says, you know what? I want to give you good and perfect gift. There's something here that's going to build your faith in good and perfect ways. Second, it says, second truth is this God, this Father is unchangeably good. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I mean, already you can tell it's very poetic. This passage is definitely looking at God through the Genesis eyes in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14 through 18 where it says that God created the lights in the world, right? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day and the night and let them serve as signs to mark the season and the days. And then verse 18 says, to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness, God saw that it was good. All right. So it's linking to God of the creation, the God of lights in Genesis. And as he created light, he looked at it as he created all of creation. He said, this is good. And then James goes on to say, this goodness never shifts or changes like a shadow. But like the light who God is, it's unchangeably good. God is unchangeably good. James is reminding us that God doesn't change and He is consistently a God of goodness. You know, in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, the Word of God says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Right? He doesn't change, He says. When I declare I am a good God, that's who I am, right? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, the Word of God says, He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. I, the Lord, do not change. One author said this, there is no way in which we might come to him in our need and find that he is unwilling, unable, unavailable. The good news today for all eternity is God is inevitably good. He has never had and will never be more goodness than He has been now. He is unchangeably good. He stands like an eternal sun in a cloudless sky, radiating unbroken goodness upon us. God is always eternally be good to us. Not sometimes, but always and in same intensity. Okay, right now as you listen to me, some of you are like, ah, yeah, I believe. And maybe if you've been in church world enough, you cognitively believe. For example, let me do this, all right? God is good? What are you supposed to say? God is good? All the time? All right, thank you for doing that. All right, but you know, we mindlessly say it, but when we're living in our life and our faith is being broken and tested and it's trying to grow, can we really say it? Can we really speak it? That God is unchangeably good? That He's always good? That His goodness, right, is always the same with same intensity? All right? His goodness is always the same with same intensity. His goodness is good when there is comfort being laid upon by Him. His goodness is good when there are trials in life and difficulties and even abuse because of sin happening. His goodness is still good in that darkness. His goodness is always good, the same intensity. We don't feel like that. We feel like His goodness shifts and changes. We feel like, you know what? God is good sometimes and especially when I'm comforted. And God is even, there's no such word, but gooder when that comfort is even more intense. But is God really good when I'm in the valley? God really good when I'm in the loneliness? God really good when I'm in financial crisis? God really good? James says, you know, God is always good. Same intensity all the time. And I want to tell you, here is the battle with our faith. All right? Do we really believe what the Bible says? Do we really? And this does not make sense unless you could have the eyes of God and you look from eternity down to where we are. In the midst of living this world, if only thing we can see is we're walking by sight, some of this stuff does not make sense. Okay, if you're only measuring your life, your first 5 years of life, okay, and you're trying, I don't know, your parents are trying to teach you cello and violin. I guess if you like it, that's okay. But if you don't like it and they're teaching you, like, this is not good. Why? Until you become Yo-Yo Ma. You're like, oh, that was good. You can't see it if you're only looking at it through the eyes of sight that God is good. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Psalmist says, taste and see that God is good. And I just want to ask you right now, how does God taste to you, really? Not right now as you're trying to listen to me like, I'm going to try to taste He's good. All right, He's kind of good. Yeah, I believe. And you know what happens when you do that is you're kind of putting it in your mind and you're kind of, you have this like Sunday digestive system, right? So you're like, okay, I don't really believe it, but I'll put it in my Sunday stomach. I'm just reminded of this America Got Talent, this guy, this regurgitator guy. I don't know if you ever see it. Don't even look at it. He just regurgitates stuff. I think he has another stomach and comes out. And so it's like what you do is you put it in your Sunday stomach, and when you leave here, you take it out. But you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday stomach, and that one hasn't swallowed the goodness of God. What does God taste like to you? Is He really good? Is he good in your loneliness? Is he good in your struggles? Is he good when your mom's in the hospital? Is he good, when your kids are causing you trouble? Is he good? Sometimes he doesn't taste good. It feels like, well, I don't know. You know, I shared this illustration before, but some foods that I just never tasted, that when I first tasted, I didn't think it was good at all. One is cilantro. When I first tasted cilantro, I was like, this tastes like bug spray. You know, this tastes like dishwashing soap. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You eat cilantro, like, oh, I can't, no cilantro. And then you can detect it like 1 mile away, like, that's cilantro. I gotta stay away from it. But you know, other than, I'm a Korean American, they don't use cilantro. All other countries know how good cilantro is, amen? Now, I love cilantro. I literally eat it like I'm a rabbit. Like, I'll just grow it, I'll just start chomping on it. It tastes good. I feel like I love the smell of it. You know, I just love it, you know. I love cilantro. Before, I hated it. But now, I love cilantro. The other thing I didn't like was, I didn't like sushi when I was growing up. I would eat, this tastes like rubber and like, ugh, like, ugh, yuck. Ah. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. Most of you are like, you crazy? What? You don't like sushi? Like, you know, I used to hate it, and especially the sushi eggs. I'm like, oh, why would you eat that? Now it's like, it's so good. You know, I just, you know, love sushi. I hated medium steak. Why would you eat blood? That's why people would like, oh, I want medium or raw, right? You want to eat raw? Go to Africa, all right? We were cooking, goat, and it looked so good outside until they got to the middle. Because, you know, when you roast it, it takes a long. I mean, the guy was cooking. You get to the middle, it's like all blood. And I was eating the top, and then it was blood. I go, oh, I can't do this. And this guy from my tribe is like, can I have that? I go, okay. And he's like, oh, he enjoyed it. Blood was coming out, and he just really enjoyed the semi-raw, you know, goat meat. I'm like, why is that good? But now, I like it. And it's kind of, I know it's such a dumb illustration, but we haven't gotten the real taste of God. All right? He is good all the time. Some of us, you feel like God is like cilantro. At least a while ago, not now. You know, me. Like, I don't know. But the Bible says, no, this God is consistently always good. And the way you see it is through the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of eternity, through the eyes of God. Then it says in this passage that he gave us birth into this family. He chose, verse 18, to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruit of all he created. And he's basically saying he brought us into the family of goodness. Literally, James is marching down saying, he's saying, God gives good and perfect gift. Our Father in heaven, of heavenly lights is good. And he gave us birth into his good family. We are part of Jesus and what God has done through Jesus Christ. We are God's children. And we also could be good to others in good and bad times, because we are God's children. And James says, as he starts this passage, this is where you can be deceived. Do you believe that our Father is good? Do you believe that he gives you enough, just enough, even though you feel like, I can't do it, I don't think I can handle it, because he wants to grow your faith? Do you believe that you were born into the good family of God, that you are a child of goodness today? Do you believe that our Heavenly Father is good, that he gives good and perfect gifts, that he's unchangeably good, that we are birthed into this good family? You know, this is exactly in Genesis 3 what happened. Here is, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and God says, you can eat anything and everything except this one tree, this one fruit. You can't eat that. And in that, pretty perfect, Garden of Eden, that restriction, and there's something in us that when we're restricted, we're like, no, we just want that. You can see that in babies, like the baby's crawling somewhere and you go, no! And they're like, I want to go there. You know, there's very few babies, literally 9 out of 10 will go there, right? Want to go there. There's only one that says, no! And they're like, You are good, Dad. No, they are. Anytime you say no to a kid, they're like, why? Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you don't know mom. I mean, there's fire. There is, you know, like burning. And no, I got to go there. Like, you know, there's this idea. I got to go and figure it out yourself. And I always say this. You don't have to learn it the hard way. You can learn it a easier way. You know, if there is a burning stove and somebody says, don't touch that because you're going to burn your hand. There's always somebody like, no, I got to learn it the hard way. Ah! My hand is burned, but I learned all that. Why? You know, let your brother burn his hand. Go, oh, okay, I shouldn't do that, right? Let somebody else and learn the easy way. And so Adam and Eve says, no, I gotta do this. And slowly, what is the doubt? What is the deception? The deception in that whole way towards sin is God really good? If he was really good, why would he restrict you? Why would he give this condition? Why would you be lonely? Why would you be having difficulty? Why would your mom be in the hospital? Why would your life not be perfect? Is God really good? Because you see, if you really believe God is good, you would turn to him. I mean, if there is really what the Bible says, a truly good, good Father that gives good and perfect gift. As you look through eternity and through the eyes of Scripture, he gives good and perfect gift. What is good for us and glorifying to God, God gives us perfect gift. We are born into the good family. If this is really true, in the worst of times, in the difficult moments, who would you turn to? A good, powerful, all-wise Father? If you actually look, when you go through hard times, you're always trying to turn to something that makes you feel good. You know, I'm going through a hard time. What's going to make me feel good? Maybe alcohol. Maybe masturbation. Maybe vegging in a computer. Maybe this other stuff. We're trying to comfort ourselves. A friend. Maybe I'm having a hard time. This friend will make me feel good. If I have sex with that person, that will make me feel good. We're always trying to find comfort, to find good in the bad. And the Bible says, I'm goodness. We don't turn to God, believe it or not, because enemy slowly starts deceiving. He might not be good. If he was, why would he stick you in this situation? You need to go find other things that are good. And then you start using that. And you know, let's be honest. You know, I've drank alcohol before. Sometimes when you drink alcohol, it feels good. Oh, Lord. You know, you're like, you kind of forget. You know, you're like, And if you drink enough, you forget it. Okay, I don't want to promote alcohol. You know, you do other stuff, or you turn to a friend. It feels good. But the Bible says that's temporary. And it has byproducts that's going to go wrong. But God is good. And he wants to be the source of your goodness. Is God really good to you? Is the name of Jesus sweet all the time? Is the name of Jesus beautiful, even in the times of the valley of the dry bones? Because he's going to bring you out of it. I was sharing with you, sharing with the leaders this Saturday. You know, as most of you know, and I really thank you that you give me absolute privilege to share personal struggles here. Not that you give me privilege, I just do it. You know, but my mom's been in the hospital since December 27th, and wow, there's been highs and there has been lows. And you know, my wife, I remember just a week ago, came back from her business trip, and we were visiting her, and I can tell in my wife's eyes, like, she was like about to break down, because my mom had 102 fever, and just because she's so weak, it really looked like she was going to die. I mean, it was just, she was in another realm, you know, and I can tell my wife's just about to break down and cry and stuff like that, and we're just standing there, and praise God, we visited yesterday, and she looks, you know, she looks better because of the fever, and, you know, I've been going there, and, you know, I got to tell you, when I go into the hospital, by God's grace, I actually had time over Christmas break till, you know, till about now, because our church is actually not that busy until now, right? And so what happens is, you know, I was there 5-6 hours, you know, making sure I go every shift to the nurses so that they know there is a son who cares for this mom. You know, and I'm changing my mom, helping the nurse, saying their name, finding out the names of their kids, you know, so I can tell them, I know your name and your kid's name and all this stuff, right? I'm just trying to get into them so that they would take care of my mom. But I just been kind of numb because I don't want to think about it. I just go in and out and stuff. And I was just praying because, we're breaking fast. I go, God, you know what? I don't really hear you. I just go to this hospital and I just don't hear you. And as I was praying before Friday night, before we broke fast, I was like, God, what are you trying to teach me here? And I felt like God was saying, I want to build your faith. I want to make it stronger. I want to make it deeper. And I remember I was telling God, I go, oh, you don't have to do it this way. Maybe you can break my leg. Do something else. You don't have to do this to my mom to make my faith stronger and deeper or some form. But I realized a lot of different circumstances, even in the midst of this trial, our Father is good. You know, I just can tell you a lot of things that happened to set it up, but I'll just tell you one. Way back in the summer, I was taking my DMIN class. I'd finished it, and I knew that there was a January class that I couldn't prepare for because our church is just too busy. And so I decided not to take it, and because I couldn't take it, it had to go through all this logistic because we're in a module, you know, following a cohort, and I had to come out of the cohort, go into it. And so I was able to, you know, pull a lot of different strings and being able to take a February class. And I just, you know, thought, you know, I would just wanted to be ready for 2019 with our church to bring revival to our church. Had all these things and had to work out. And at that time, I thought it was just so that I could just invest into our church. But if that had if I couldn't have dropped that class and moved on, I just would have had no time, or I would have to literally, take a bad grade for that class. But I, you know, didn't have that class, and literally instead of that class, I was able to invest into time with my mom. And you know, it's weird. It's even though she's going through a very difficult time, it's strangely therapeutic for me, because I've been so busy. In the 5 years that she's been suffering with Parkinson's, every month or every week goes by, and I said, man, I should have visited my mom. You know, I should have dropped by. God is good. He let me drop by every day, like 6 hours a day. And I felt like I was saying, you know, it's time for you, you know, to really invest into your mom. God is good. You know, He knows what He's doing, even though sometimes we feel like He doesn't. He knows what He's doing. Amen? Let's pray.